King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Bless thy word, give thy corn brown brow, lead me to Calvary. Bless thy forget Gethsemane. Bless thy forget thine agony. Bless thy forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast slain, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of white array guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget
make a note about our devotionals are in, and I saw some floating around already. Good for you guys picking those up, but they're back there for adults, for the kids, as well as for teenagers, all three different age groups. And I know there's a lot of adults that take the teen ones. That's why I have so many back there. You're just teenagers at heart, but that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. They're all good and challenging and help you from God's Word. So please feel free to take those. All right, well, you want to open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes? Psalms, message that I'll have in the series out of Ecclesiastes. And this is kind of the one that the Lord laid on my heart to start all of this. And so if you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and while you're turning there, I want to thank the new sound people for doing such a fine job. We got some people up there giving Paul some help and support. And so I checked it out last week on the CD. It was great. Did a good job. So thank you. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Make sure, Paul, that you teach them about the sign that says, Pastor, your mic's not on. All right. So they flagged that at me from up in the balcony when I forget to turn it on, lest I don't get a recording for the radio. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. You know, we've been talking a lot about the idea of, is there real purpose to life? And you know how many times I've heard that question asked to me? And I've heard this statement made so many times. They say, there's got to be more to life than this. And there is more to life than the world has to offer. And we've talked about how life has great meaning and purpose and worth in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll never go wrong by choosing the Lord as your Savior. You'll never go wrong by putting God first in your life. We've seen what the world has to offer and how it comes up as vanity. We've seen that when trials come, that if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're never alone. Isn't that a great thing to remember? And then last week we learned that if we're to win, we must never quit. How many people win a marathon and they quit short of the finish line? How many people are going to be successful in life if they quit early? Christian, never give up. I was talking about in Sunday school class, I asked the Lord that if I'm not going to finish strong for you, Lord, just take me home. Because I want my whole life to be for the Lord. I don't want to fizzle off somewhere down the line. I want my life to count until God takes me home. So that's today our message title is Using Your Youth to Make a Difference. And can I challenge everybody from the age of 2 years old and up to pay close attention today? And the other ones, they probably will pay attention in between. I'm really surprised at how much young people get out of the message. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, the kids can't get anything out of the message. Well, they do here. And many times they'll repeat what I'm saying. I'm looking out there and the parents may be in daydreaming and the kids are getting it. But nonetheless, this is for using your youth to make a difference. Now, some people may say, well, I'm not so young anymore. Well, don't you feel young inside? And you know what? As long as we have breath, we can praise God. As long as we're here on this earth, He has a plan for us. We need to realize that. A lot of people don't realize that if we're here, God has a special plan for you. When I say He needs you, in other words, He has you in His overall plan and He wants you to be blessed in serving Him. God can get along without us, but He's chosen not to. Is that a good way to put it? God wants to use us. And so using your youth to make a difference, it doesn't matter how old you are, but wouldn't it be nice to look back and say, I made all the right choices when I was young? You know, I have heard so many adults say this. Wouldn't it be neat if I could go back and do it all over again? Now, when they start thinking about the trials and tribulations they went through, they might say, you can skip that. But if I knew what I knew now, wouldn't it be neat to try it again? Wouldn't it? And so, wouldn't it be nice if when we were young, we had the wisdom to make the perfect choices right off? Is that possible? Is it possible for a young person to make choices at a young age that they'll not regret, that they'll be happy they made? Yes, it is. And you know what? I think people sell young people out short. I really do. I used to teach junior age kids for many, many years. This is the first Sunday school class that I ever taught was junior age kids. And I found out that junior age kids were quite a challenge sometimes, and it's because people underestimated them. That's what I was convinced of. When I taught the, well, it all started when I was in a junior age class. And it was a unruly group of young men, I guess I would say. I knew that if I participated in the actions too much that I would pay dearly when I got home. But nonetheless, as a youngster with foolishness in my mind, it was kind of humorous to watch sometimes as the other kids cut up in class and gave the teacher a hard time. That would never happen in a class, would it, kids? You would never do that. And so in the events that went on, our Sunday school teacher quit. Now, that was shameful to discourage someone so much in their teaching that they quit. And as I look back over it, I hope that they didn't get quit for good. But that teacher quit. So we got another teacher in, and that teacher lasted 2 weeks. And they quit. Nobody wanted that junior boys class. And there was quite a few boys in there. And finally I heard they got a new teacher. And I'm going like, Dad, they got a new teacher for our junior class. And he said, oh, they did they? And I said, yeah. I said, I wonder if he's going to last longer than the other teacher. He said, well, we'll see. And I wasn't thinking anything of it. And we all went up to class and there was no teacher around in Sunday school opening. We didn't know who it was. And we all got into class. Everything was starting to get wound up. You know how it is when there's no teacher. And in steps a man. And guess who it was? It was my dad. My dad started out in that class. And you know what? He held us highly accountable. In other words, he just expected a lot from us. And he taught the lesson. And we never had a chance to get cutting up. And I've watched his teaching. And I tried to emulate that in the years ahead because he didn't have any trouble with us. And we learned a lot. And I've learned that teaching with the junior age kids is they are very smart. And they want a challenge. And they deserve a challenge. You know why? It's because they are getting ready to make the major decisions in their lives that are going to be coming up as teenagers and young adults. And teenagers are not in this category of what people say kind of like. I hate to even say the word. They kind of feel like they're misfits, but they're not. They're young adults who are trying desperately to make decisions for their future life, and they're life-changing decisions. So how can they make the right choices? Well, here we have it. If I can keep the young people's attention for the next 30 minutes, and you catch this and you apply this, this will truly help you in your walk with God. And it's applicable to all ages, by the way. You can start whatever age you're at. Or if you're already doing it, you can continue on. Because this is what God wants us to do. So here we are. Using your youth, and then I also put in parentheses, or your life, to make a difference. In chapter 11, there's going to be 5 steps to a spiritually fulfilling life. And the first one here is, sow of your substance. Okay, that's the first point. If you're taking notes, it's sow of your substance. And now let's read the verse and see how it applies. It says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be on the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where that tree falleth, there it shall be. Now he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and pleasant thing it is to the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thine heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. That's very interesting. And so let's take a look at this passage in light of what God has to say. And the first one here is sow of your substance. And the first point I have under that is, what is your substance? Everybody know what sowing is, right? That's where you cast or broadcast seed. And so it says, sow of your substance, thy bread. It says, cast thy bread upon the waters. As I looked up that word, it has to do with your seed corn, that which you have. Now, this is a farming community, and most of us understand a little bit about farming, and I would say many people understand a lot about farming. The reason I said that is because I don't know a whole lot about farming, because I haven't farmed a lot myself. But yet, a lot of folks here, that's their livelihood. And I have been watching different farmers, and a lot of times they'll use their seed. Now, a lot of times we purchase the seed, but where does that seed come from? And so the seed that you plant, how many of you are guaranteed that you're going to get a crop out of that seed? Is it possible that you could spend a lot of money on seed, plant it, and then it could get destroyed in the ground because of the weather? Or that it could come up and die right away because of no rain? Is it possible that conditions could be contrary to the prosperity of what you planted? Very much so. And so it is very possible that you can lose your crop. Also, it is very possible that you might not get a loan to get the seed to plant. And how much profit are you going to have if you never plant any seed? So the first thing here is he's saying, says, cast thy bread upon the waters. And the bread here has to do with that which you have. Because you can't sow what you don't have. I just want to make that point. If you don't have it, you can't sow it. Now, what might be some reasons or some points that we can get out of this? Well, many people today aren't sowing what they have because they're so caught up in what they don't have. Young people many times have not learned that you use what you have. They're always looking for something more. And they're wasting what they have. Have you ever noticed that in an adult life? Maybe there's a burden going on. We talked about that in Sunday school. But maybe something's not going right in your life and your focus is totally on that problem and you're missing out on all your opportunities. And that's what God is trying to say here, is what you have, use it. But many of us are going around saying, oh, I wish I had what so-and-so has. The Bible talks about covetousness, wanting what everybody else has. And that's what the Ecclesiastes was all about up until this point, is being so caught up in having more of this world that we don't even enjoy what we have. And so we've learned that you enjoy each day as God gives it to you. You enjoy the blessings that God gives to you and you rejoice in that. Have you ever noticed that that's the best way to live? The older ones can say, hey, that's what life is about. You enjoy each day and each blessing it brings. Does each day possibly bring hardships? Yes, it does. So we enjoy the blessings as they come. The old saying is stop and smell the roses. right? And so enjoy some things in life. But then we come to the point of, well, what about purpose to life? What can I do that will accomplish something prosperous in the future? Well, that's using what you have right now. How many people have said this? When I get enough time, I'm going to do this. When I get around to it, then I'm going to do such and such. And I have fun with this because I have some friends of mine who have ended up giving me these little round tokens, and on at the front of it says T-U-I-T. And the first one I got one of those was I got one from Wally Purcell. He had little pins you stick on. You could stick them on your shirt, and it said to it. And what it is, it's a round to it. You get it? And so, hey, all those things you couldn't get done before, now you can, because now you've got a round to it. Well, it doesn't quite work that way, does it? But thinking about that, we aren't getting things done because we always plan on doing it tomorrow. So God wants us to take the things that need to be done and the resources we have and accomplish what we can for Him. Do you realize that God has given you everything that He wants you to have to accomplish what He requires of you? How many times are people trying to do someone else's job and they're missing out on what God has for them to do? I have seen people say, you know, I really wished I could work in the church. I said, really? You know, you say that to a pastor, it's like saying stick 'em to a dog. You know, like, I sure wish I could do something in the church. Like, oh, really? And I says, oh, that's great. We've really needed someone for such and such a position. And I don't know, I've said this a few times in different times. And someone said, I wish I could do something. And you know what sometimes I hear? Oh, that's not really what I wanted to do. And I'm getting it. You know what? That must be a common thing because nobody's doing it. And so pastor does it. But you know what? God has a place for you. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to work in that place and use the talents God gave you to accomplish that task? Or are you even passing up those opportunities because you're wishing you had something you don't? So I challenge you. Take what God has given to you and use it for Him. And I put down here, don't waste what you do have, because then you'll have nothing to sow. So it used to be that a farmer would have to save some of the grain to plant the next year, right? And so what happens if you sell too much off so you get a little more profit? Maybe the prices were high, so you sold too much seed corn or too much wheat, too much oats, whatever you're raising. If you sell off too much, what happens? Well, in order to plant your field, either you're going to have to buy more at a higher price at the time of planting, or you're going to be short and you're not going to get as good a crop. So what sowing requires is that we save the resources, that we're faithful and wise stewards of what God has given us so that we have something when planting time comes to use for Him. And so be careful, young people, because God has given you many things and many talents to be used for Him. And I've seen a lot of people waste those talents. You know, I could think of some when I was growing up, they used to say, well, don't waste that talent or God might take it away from you. And, you know, I found that to be true. And so when God has given you something special, don't be afraid to use it. So that all started out with thy bread. That's what you have. That's your seed corn. What am I supposed to do with it? Cast it, it says. Cast thy bread upon the waters. Now, that was an interesting study I did here when it said cast it upon the waters. Why in the world am I throwing it on the waters? But it makes perfectly good sense. If you think about things like in the Nile, when they had in the spring, they would flood the plains. And then they would cast the seed on top, and it would disperse out on the water, and then it would sink down, and that's then when the water receded, up would come the grain. Interesting way of planting. But how do we cast? We don't have water here. What do? We seed it. But what do you do when you seed the grain? You go out and put it in the ground, and then pick it back up, and then move it, and plant it in the next spot, and pick it up. No, when you put it there, you leave it there. And when you live for the Lord, it's going to cost you some of your life. It's going to take some of your time, your commitment, your energy, and your resources. But what God is saying is, it's worth it. Go ahead and spend of your life for the things of God, and we'll learn about this principle of sowing and reaping. Now, I love gardening, don't you? How many of you garden? A lot of you garden, and some of you have much fancier gardens than I do. But I try not to be covetous, and I try not to be jealous, and I'm content with what God has given me. And so we'll leave it at that. But, you know, when we plant something, you expect it to come up. Have you kids ever planted anything? How many of you have ever planted a corn seed and got a turnip? How many of you have ever planted a turnip seed and got a corn, a stalk of corn? What is that? You ever plant a potato, a spud with the eye on it? You ever plant that and got a sunflower? So what are you telling me? How do you know what's going to come up in your row? Do you guys plant rows in your garden? Okay, I'm the kind of guy that likes straight rows. I don't know how many people here like, oh, don't get into that, we'll get in an argument. But, you know, some gardens have crooked rows, some have straight rows. But, you know, we put little markers in our garden, and I'll say, now this is where the carrots are going to come up. And this is where the corn's going to come up. Now, sometimes in my corn, and sometimes in my carrots, and sometimes in, I have other stuff that comes up. You know what I call those? Weeds. Because I didn't plant them, and I didn't want them to come up. But when I plant corn seed, I expect that corn seed comes up. And that's the principle of what you sow is what you're going to reap. And so in your life, God is saying, young people, now that you're coming to the age to where you're making decisions for your own life, isn't that a great place to be? I get to drive. Hey, Dad, can I have the keys to the car? I remember this. Dad, can I drive home? Hey, can I drive to church? Do you need me to go to town and pick something up? I'll take the car. I love to drive. You know? So you're getting to make all these decisions of independence, and you're starting to become in charge of your own life, we think, right? And so now we start to make decisions, but we have to make wise decisions. Did you ever make a foolish decision and wished you hadn't made it? You know, I keep always sharing all these personal experiences in my illustrations, and I'm going like, people, I wonder what they think of me. You know, I'm giving them all these things that I mess up all the time. But I remember learning to drive, and I'll share this with you, and it was a bad choice. I said, Dad, is it all right if I drive the car? No, we were out in the country, and we were way off out of the way. And he says, well, he says, I'll tell you what. He says, I'll let you practice. He says, but you can go from this approach down to this approach. You turn around in the approach, and you go back to the other approach, and you turn around, and you can practice. And I was just learning to drive. So, you know, that was fun, right? First time I would look real careful. I'd back out in the middle of the country, nowhere. He's right there in the field watching. And I pull up and I drive up the road. And I come to the next approach. I pull in. I put it in reverse. I look. I back out. I go do this back and forth. But you know what? After a while, it gets kind of boring, doesn't it? Doing the same thing over and over again. So I decide to turn around in a different spot. Now everybody's going like, oh, Pastor, that was bad. Wasn't that bad, kids? It was bad. All right. So Pastor decides to turn around a different spot, and guess what I do? I pull off the road, and I'm driving his Oldsmobile, so it's got low clearance. And I pull off in the ditch a little bit, and guess what? I went a little too far. I put it in reverse, and I tried to back up, and the wheels are on the gravel, and they just spun. And I'm going like, uh-oh. Now I'm stuck. I'm stuck in the field. So I thought, well, if I pull ahead a little bit and then really give it some gas, I can back up and get out of the ditch. So I pulled ahead just a little more, and I pulled it on to reverse. But on an Oldsmobile, reverse is in a different place than most cars. And I didn't quite get it far enough to the end, and I had it in low. And when I punched it, guess what I did? It drove right off into the summer foul. Going nowhere now. So I'm going like, now what am I going to do? Now, I thought I was beyond the hill where Dad couldn't see. But being in the tractor with a four-wheel drive with the cab in the air, he saw. So I get out of the car, because, I mean, how long can I sit here, right? He's going to find out sooner or later. And I start walking towards the tractor. Now, every time I walk toward the tractor, Dad would kind of swing the tractor off to the side of the field to see what I needed. This time he didn't. This time he kind of headed it out across the field. I'm going like, what? And I'm like, hey, I'm over here. So I walk and I walk and I trudged all the way across that summer fall field. And he finally stopped. And I get up and I said, Dad, I got a problem. He said, well, you do you? And he knew. He said, what's the problem? I said, I got stuck. You got stuck? How did you get stuck in an approach? I decided to make a different decision, and I tried to turn around in a different spot, and I made a mistake, and I accidentally put it into low range instead of reverse, and I drove off into the field. And he says, that wasn't your problem. He said, your problem was when you didn't obey. Your problem was the choice to do something different than what was the right thing to do. I'm like, oh, yeah, right. That was the end of my driving for a long time. Do you know why? I proved that I was not trustworthy, responsible enough, or a person that could be trusted in life to make the right choices yet. You know what? God tells us what are the wise choices to make, young people. And when we think in our hearts that, hey, I think this is too boring, I think I'd be better off doing something else. You know what's going to happen? We're going to pay the consequences. But God has out there already told us what was best. And you know what? My dad was being kind to me, letting me learn. He knew I loved to do that. He could have had me doing chores at home. But you know what? It must have been a real disappointment to him to see me drive off into that field, turning around where I shouldn't be turning around. Matter of fact, it was a dangerous place to turn around. Now everybody knows Pastor Pepley, when he was a kid, made bad choices. Well, I think we all do. But I think it'll maybe stick with you that, you know what? Our Father has great wisdom, and our Heavenly Father never makes a mistake. And we need to follow what He says, young people. And that's what we need to use to determine the great choices for our lives. Because, young people, the choices we make have long-lasting consequences. The choices you make are life-changing decisions. And so I go on. Don't be so worried about what other people have and you don't. Use what you have. Use it for the Lord. Cast, in other words, be willing to give up some of your resources for the work of God. And then understand this principle of sowing and reaping. And here's the three principles of sowing and reaping. You will always reap what you sow. Okay? Get that? That makes sense? We just talked about that. You plant corn, you're going to get corn. You plant wickedness, you're going to reap wickedness. You plant godliness, you're going to reap godliness. I'll make it simple. Secondly, you'll always reap more than you sow. If you sow weeds, you don't get just one weed back. And so, keeping that in mind. Thirdly, you will always reap later than you sow. You don't go out in the garden and plant a seed and watch it come up and take your fruit home. That's the way I liked it. When I was a kid, and even at my age of 50 kid right now, I prefer to watch the garden grow. I could sit out there and just be content if it came up, you know, and I could see it prosper right there and take my strawberries or whatever and just go into the house with them. Wouldn't that be great? But it doesn't work that way, does it? You have to wait while it germinates. The seed germinates under the ground. Then you see a little shoot. Then over the weeks, it grows. Then it starts to produce the fruit. And you have to wait for that to ripen. You ever notice that? It takes a while to enjoy the fruit. But the old devil wants young people to say, I want it now. We're used to the old microwave technology, right? Put something in, a few seconds later, bing, done. Things that are really worthwhile in life take time. So you need to sow. You need to sow what you want to reap, and then you need to wait for it. So I ask you this question. Is this good counsel or poor counsel? All of you young people, tell me this. Would this be wise counsel or poor counsel if someone told you this? Go ahead and sow your wild oats while you're young. All right. Because isn't that what you hear? So now, if I sow wild oats, what am I going to reap? Ah. So that doesn't sound so smart, does it? You know what? Even a young person should be able to catch the fallacy in that kind of advice, even if it's given from someone older. You know what? Say, I don't need any of that. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, because that reaps the kind of benefits that I'm looking for. So let's move along. What you sow now, you'll reap later. And thirdly, if the principle of sowing reaping is true, and is it? All right, so it is. Then we must be careful what we sow, because life choices have lasting significance, and therefore we must be careful of our choices. We must sow while we can. Think about that one for a minute. If you don't sow while you can at the right time of year, what do you get? North Dakota's good about this. I mean, if you don't get your seeds in time, you're going to get it froze off before you get your fruit. And so don't waste your life away. And you know how many people end up in the latter years and wish they had done more, but it's too late? Young people, you don't have to go through all that misery. You can go ahead and start serving God right away. You can start reaping benefits all through your whole life. And you don't have to get to the end of your life and say, oh, I wish I'd have started serving God sooner. And so there's great blessings in sowing while you can. The sooner you get serious about life, the sooner you can start reaping the blessings. And we must sow with all of our might. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, we already studied, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Huh. Now, what's he saying? Life is short. Use every moment for the glory of God. So as we go on, young people, adults, even older folks, you realize God has a job for you. So let's get busy doing it. He can't bless until we sow. You know, if I was to give my kids a packet of seeds and they want flowers, let's say they like snapdragons. I liked those as a kid, didn't you? You can take them off and, you know, chase your sister around with them, you know, snapdragons, and, you know, just have fun with them. You guys are like, no, pastor, don't be dumb. Okay. So are you going to get anything if your parents give you a package of snapdragon seeds and you never plant them? And God gives us many things to enjoy in life, but we have to be willing to sow in order to reap the benefits. This is simple stuff, it seems like, but the devil's going to do everything he can to get you to put off doing what you need to do so that your life won't be profitable. So I'm challenging you too. And by the way, what is the most valuable seed that you could ever sow? Now everybody's thinking, corn, is it rutabagas, is it, what is it? The Bible says the gospel. The gospel, the word of God, the gospel of salvation is the best seed you can ever sow. And boy, what is going to be the fruit of sowing the gospel? Other people being saved. There must have been something I said funny. Anyway, next thing is, I go on, verse 2. So first of all, I need to sow. Verse 2 it says, give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be on the earth. In other words, sow liberally. And now it says 7. Anybody know what number 7 is? That's the number of perfection, right? All right. So if I can figure out to sow the perfect amount. Now, how many of you know exactly what the weather's going to be like this year? You could tell me exactly how many seeds of, how many beans I need to sow to be able to can so many jars of beans so my wife would have just enough to make the year. How many of you could tell me exactly? We can't. But if I could, wouldn't it be neat if I could just plant that many and it'd come out? But what God's saying is the perfect amount would be fine if we knew everything. But we don't know it all. So we go ahead and sow liberally. Sow 8. You know, the number 8. In other words, let's go ahead and sow beyond. Because you don't know whether something's going to prosper or not. Have you ever had years where you had way too much? I know there are. Because pastor sometimes gets zucchini in his car. Sometimes they get other things. They had plenty. Sometimes we have too much. Sometimes we don't have enough. And we wish we had more. And that's what God's saying. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. God does. So go ahead and invest your life for Him. Go ahead and sow liberally. Don't be stingy. Invest your life. Now, the Bible talks about how a person that's covetous hoards up all kinds of things for themselves, but it's to their own misery. In Proverbs 11:24, it says this, "There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty." I have seen young people who are too stingy to give of their time to God because they had other things they wanted to do. And then they came up short and they later on in life wished that they had given God more. How many adults have done the same thing? And so I challenge you to sow liberally. It goes on to say, you'll never go wrong by investing your life for the Lord and others. In Proverbs 25, and I'll read that to you real quick here. Proverbs 25, verses 21 through 22. It says, "If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord shall reward thee." See, now this went beyond my norm. I would say, I would sow something that's good for me, but why would I go out of my way to help and be kind to someone who's mean? Because that's what God wanted. And God will reward you. You know what? It's amazing. Sometimes I have been very gracious with some of the things that grew in my garden. Have you ever done that? You had extra and you gave away? And the next year you needed something and it didn't grow? And someone came and brought to you. What God is saying is God will take care of you as long as you're faithful and you're willing to sow with your life what He has for you to do. And He says here to even be kind to your enemies. Why? Not because they're going to pay you back. Because if you get that kind of philosophy, you're going to be disappointed in life. You just trust God and let Him take care of your need. And He will do it. And so I move on. Invest your life for eternity. In 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19, it says this. It says, "Charge them that are rich in this world." In other words, challenge them. "That they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good. That they be rich in good works. Ready to distribute. Willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." What is God challenging us to do here? He's challenging us to use your life here for eternity. So how many of you have your potatoes from 5 years ago in your cellar? If you do, let me know so I won't come over. They don't keep, do they? But God says there's many things on this earth that you can use your time for that don't have lasting significance. He says, but what you do for God will last for all eternity. People say you can't take it with you, right? You can't. You can't take worldly things with you, but you can do things for God and send that ahead. And God stores it up where it doesn't corrupt and where moth and rust doth not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. So, how am I supposed to sow? I sow of what I have, what God has given me. I sow liberally, and now I sow expectantly. That's the third point. Verse 3 says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. If a tree fall to the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. How many of you can control which way a tree falls? Well, some say, yeah, I cut them just right. Well, I have seen out cutting logs sometimes where the trees get ornery and they fall the way they want to. You know, I see the guys trim trees here in town. They go, they take great pains to make sure those things are roped off or pulled in a certain direction so they don't fall in the wrong direction. What it's saying here is you don't have control over everything in life, right? So we can't control circumstances, but we still can get to work sowing and let God take care of the outcome. So let's get to work while we can. What did Jesus do when he was on earth? I just found some things here in John chapter 9, verse 4. Jesus said this. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So how much of Jesus' life did he goof off? You know what? Do you think Jesus ever played as a kid? Yeah, people are going like, here's what I know. I believe that he was a happy kid. I believe that he probably was with his brothers. But I do know this, at a young age he knew his Bible. So what does that mean? His life had to have been balanced. He had to take time on the important things. And as Jesus got older, what did he say? I do the works of him that sent me. I have a purpose in life. You know what? I think that's one of the biggest challenges for a young person to do is find out their purpose to life. A lot of people, even in their older years, are walking around, and I get a humorous kick out of the sign that says, I've gone out to find myself. If I should get back before I return, keep me here till I get back. Kind of funny, isn't it? But you know, there's a lot of people out trying to find a purpose to life. God has already given us a purpose to life. Isn't that neat? And at a young age, we can have that purpose and be fulfilling it. One of the things I hated most was people said this when I was in high school, getting ready to graduate. So what are you going to do when you get out of high school? I'm not sure yet. Oh, you've got to know what you're going to do when you get out of high school. Well, I was just going to do whatever God would have me to do. I was going to be busy. And, you know, God's directed all through my life. Whatever he wants me to do is fine. And I had a young person come to me a while back, and I was talking with him, and I made this comment. I said, so what are you planning on doing when you graduate from high school? He's going, oh, no. And I felt inside, I remember this question. He said, I don't know. He said, is that bad? I said, well, I don't know. I said, you're going to plan on doing whatever God has for you to do? He said, that's all I know I can do. I said, then you're good. He said, really? I am so glad. Everybody's been pressuring me to come up with something. You know what? He didn't know what God had for his life yet. My dad always taught me you just study. You be prepared for whatever work that God has for you to do. If he puts you in a situation, you learn what you have to learn there. And you'd be surprised how many places God will use you if you'll just go ahead and be prepared and usable in his hand. You know what? When I bought a DeWalt drill, that drill didn't come with a list of things it was going to do before it quit working. You know what they send along with my DeWalt drill? A battery charger. You put the battery in there and you charge it, and I keep it separate from my drill because if I plug it in, it'll go dead. But if I leave it in there, guess what? Whenever I need that drill, I plug it in, and guess what? It does whatever I need it to do. And what God is looking for in you, young person, is a willingness to say, I'll do whatever God has for me to do. And you'll be a usable tool and you'll do great things for God. And you don't need to worry about the whole plans for the future. Your plan for the future is to do exactly what God wants me to do in my life. I will ask Him. And I ask a lot of people this. Young people, You may have a plan for your life already. I'm going to do this and this and this and this in my life. I want to ask you this. Have you asked God what He wants you to do with your life? Is that really His plan? Ask Him. And so expectantly, because time is short, let's get to work while we can, and let's forget in our work not to reap the harvest. Now, wouldn't it be foolish for me to plant a garden, but never to harvest it? It would be. Wouldn't that be a waste of time? And that's what a lot of people do. In John chapter 4, verses 34 through 38, Jesus challenged us here and said, Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Isn't that what Jesus said again? That's what, and He goes on, He says, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. He said, Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. So spiritually we sow seed, and sometimes spiritually we get to reap the benefits. Isn't that neat? And he goes on, he says, And herein is that saying true, One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereunto ye bestowed no labor, and other men labored, and ye are entered into their labor. You know what, young people? We're in America. We have a lot of freedom because of what our founding fathers fought to get us. But you know what? We can give that all away. We're to be reaping that reward, and we're also be planting seed for the next generation. And so there's a big challenge. And that goes to the adults too, doesn't it? What are we leaving for our young people? And boy, we could get into a whole message on that. I know your mind already went there, didn't it? What are we leaving for our young people? And I want you to note this, that a lost harvest cannot be regained. When the stuff starts falling off the stalk, we got a problem. You ever seen the old white combine come through? What's left? Nothing. You know what? The fields are ready for harvest. Let's not waste them. And lastly, I want to show you here. I got 2 more points and I got 2 minutes. Well, here it is. Fourth one was to sow anyway. And I'm going to run this through. That's in verse 4. Because you know what? We don't know what the wind's going to do. We don't know what different trials are going to come our way. But sow anyway. Don't be afraid of the what ifs. Well, what if this happens? Do right anyway. Sow your seed. Do what God wants. Here's another one. Don't be afraid of opposition. Well, what if somebody doesn't like it? This is one that young people struggle with. Peer pressure. What if they don't like it? You know what? If you're doing right, that's what you keep doing. You're always going to have people that don't like it. But I'd rather have people not like me for doing right than people not like me for doing wrong. Because what I sow, I'm going to reap. And I want to like what I reap. How about you? And so let's make it count. Another thing, don't fear the possibility of failure. There's another reason why young people don't do a lot of things that they should. What if I don't do it right? Have you ever felt that way, young people? Adults? You ever been afraid to try something because you might mess up? You might have someone criticize you? Go ahead and do what's right. You know what? God doesn't criticize. God helps us. All right. And the fourth one, follow God's plan, sow the seed, and let Him worry about the outcome. Man, I've got a million illustrations on that one, but we have to keep going. In Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6 says that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When we present that valuable seed, the most valuable seed, the gospel message, leave God with the results, and He will bring it. So things that I don't need to worry about are the what-ifs, circumstances, and knowing all of God's plan. He's got that taken care of. And lastly, sow consistently, constantly, and faithfully. Morning to evening, early to late, young age to old age, I should never stop doing right and serving God. And remember, if we sow God's word, He will see to it that it prospers. Let me read you a verse. Isaiah 55:11 says, So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Isn't that a great promise? So remember, to assist others in sowing the word of God. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, it says, "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness." What that verse is saying there is, you know what? We sow seed, spiritual seed. We reap the benefits of what someone else has sown. And also, we can also participate in the blessings by providing the means for someone else to sow. You know what? We don't have to be stingy with our seed and with our life. We can invest our life in doing what God wants for us, as well as helping others accomplish what God has for them to do. So, conclusion, troubles will come, but focus on serving God. Remember that the world has what the world has to offer is only vanity, but a young person has his whole life to use for something of value. Can I take you to the Bible again and look at verse 9? Young people, everyone, can you look at verse 9? It says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the way of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes." What it's saying here is, you've got a whole life ahead of you. You ever heard the world say that? Your whole life's ahead of you. Get out and enjoy it. You know what I say? God says, you have your life ahead of you. Enjoy it. But be careful how you enjoy it so that you might truly enjoy it. Now that's a little deeper. That's going to make you think, young person. But how you live your life is going to determine whether it's truly fulfilling or not. That's what God's saying. So you have a choice, young person, to live your life to its fullest however you choose to. But your choices will affect the ultimate outcome. Your choices affect your future. So can I challenge you, young people? Make wise choices. Gain godly wisdom. Make choices beyond your years. Does that make sense? Make choices that older folks would make. Why? Because then your life's truly going to be fulfilling and rewarding. And that's what it's trying to say here. God wants you to enjoy your life, young person, and the devil wants to destroy it. So go ahead and be willing to sow your seed wisely. I wish I could spend more time on this. I'm going to have to study this out and put it into a teenager format, if there is such a thing. But just more practical challenges to young people. But what God is saying is your life is short. What are you doing for eternity? So in closing tonight, can I challenge you to examine your heart? Where are you today, adult? Where are you today, young person? Is God really in your plans? Or are you just stuffing God into the corners of your plan? Let God lead your life. Let's close with hymn number 454. And this song says, "I have decided to follow Jesus." I want to know if that's true in your heart. If it is, won't you sing that out with us as we stand and sing 454, "I have decided to follow Jesus." Ecclesiastes, the only thing that's going to really matter for eternity is that which is done for you. Lord, will you take the lives of each person here that has given it to you and do something wonderful with it? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you're dismissed.